Good evening and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. Six South African male medical doctors on a mission to change the way in which we perceive men's healthcare. My name is Dr. Sohail Essa, and joined with us in the studio is our esteemed guest, Michael Davidson, founder of Apex, a natural health supplement brand. We're so happy to have you here. Thank you for joining us. Let's give him a warm round of applause. Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you for being here with us. We're really excited to chat all things natural supplements. So, welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Pleasure to be here.
Welcome.
Cool. Yeah, so I think as we normally start, we generally discuss an interesting case of the week, something we've seen either in the hospitals or on our online clinic. That's thegentsclinic.co.za. So interesting cases for the week, guys. Nassim, I think you said you had one for this week.
I think Michael had a case. So Michael had a case.
Yeah, cool. We can work with that case.
Yeah, sure. Tell us your case.
Yeah, so that was specifically around the natural testosterone booster that we've developed with obviously through Apex Alchemy. So this is a morning and evening blend for essentially round-the-clock support. And basically what we saw is in our test group, there were two standout cases, specifically two gents who came in and their baseline blood work showed that they were both low test, both total and free testosterone. One of them was in the critically low range. Mm-hmm. And after 30 days supplementation using the Gladius blend, they were then within healthy levels of testosterone. And I believe the exact values for the most interesting case there was free testosterone going from 169 to 225, and the total test going from 6.91 to 9.54.
Wow, yeah.
that is a good elevation in testosterone,
and naturally as well. Naturally. I mean, that's with just the supplementation. Which specific compounds within that mix would you say you'd attribute it to that test growth?
I think so. It's the full combination, right? Because what we aim to do with Apex Alchemy is to step away from what is kind of the norm in the nutraceuticals industry. And that's basically that a lot of products or ingredients are marketed as sort of silver bullets. You know, this month, the latest thing is Shilajit. Next month, it's CMOS. And what we aim to do is to, as much as I hate the word holistically, to holistically target the issue from all of the angles that it needs to be targeted from. So, for example, in the morning blend, I would say the primary actors working there is going to be the tonkatsu leaf and the maca root. But that's also supported by things like DIM, which is short for dindolyl methane. And basically what that does, where the tonkatsu leaf and the maca root are beneficial for boosting the actual testosterone levels, DIM is useful for modulating the testosterone and estrogen balance so that your estrogen doesn't increase alongside your testosterone.
Okay.
Then when you get to the evening, we use things like ashwagandha, which is obviously adaptogenic. And that's mainly because that cortisol and testosterone have an inverse relationship. So by keeping the cortisol low in the evening and at night, you then allow your body to receive the benefits from the rest of the ingredients, which are boosting the testosterone.
Mind the rest. I think this is a very important, and I'm glad that you've come on board. Firstly, that you have this company, Apex Alchemy. How long are you running now?
So since January this year, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's just been 1 year. That's excellent, man. Because we consult patients who come with symptoms of low testosterone. They score high on the Adams score, which we use. And maybe we check their bloods and their levels are low, but not everyone, is able to go on to testosterone replacement therapy. Some people need natural supplements either because they want to, maintain their fertility. TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, it needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be a journey that you go on, because you either injecting yourself every 1 to 2 weeks, or you need to take the trochee in every day.
Sure.
And you can't just be, slacking and say, okay, no, I'm not injecting for the next month, because then you're running into deep problems, So
I think it's also supplements. Supplements need, are a big part of consultations, right? We start with that.
Yes.
That's what you're trying to say. We start with supplementation.
Yes. Yeah.
We start with optimizing lifestyle, diet, all of those kind of things. And you mentioned nutraceuticals. Can you explain what is nutraceuticals? What do you mean?
Yeah, sure. So firstly, I mean, it's good to hear that the first point of call is supplementation and lifestyle, because that really is the foundation.
Yeah.
And even before supplementation, the foundation is health and fitness, the healthy lifestyle. If you don't have those in place, then it doesn't really matter how many supplements you're taking. You're not going to get the benefits you want from them. But nutraceuticals is sort of this emerging field that sort of takes into account the sciences that are developing behind the pharmaceutical industry and applying that to the historical database that we have of plant medicine, which, I mean, if you want to take it back really far, we have about 30,000 years worth of evidence of humans relying on plants as medicine.
100%.
So it's now taking those active ingredients, which really do bring the benefits, and extracting them in a way that, I mean, because some of these ingredients, they're also, because it's natural, you know, there's obviously some of them have high levels of toxicity that are in the plants around these beneficial compounds. So with the in the nutraceutical space, what scientists are doing is they are taking the beneficial compound and leaving the toxicity behind.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm also not surprised that you're actually a fan of caffeine or coffee. You are, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like coffee is a beginning nutraceutical. Like everybody starts with coffee. And you realize, like, look, there's this natural chemical that comes from beans that can make me stay awake the whole night. Right? And it's like the first realization that there's something in natural things that you don't take for granted, like in herbs, in natural places, that can cause such a massive effect on your life, on your body, on how you can experience life, right? So it starts with caffeine, then you experience other stuff and you're like, could there be some other natural thing that could have a big impact on my life, right? So I know also you have a story with ADHD, because I mean, a lot of people, like we see it a lot of the times, right? People are like, I need something to help me focus. I need something to help me like just improve how I can study and all those kind of things in life. But then there's the thing, the crazy thing is there are other natural compounds that can help a patient that have almost similar effect. And you've experienced that, haven't you?
Yeah, sure. So pretty much that exact pathway is that when I was about 9 years old, we were recommended that I go on to Ritalin, which I then took until I was 19. And I think part of the problem with this space is that, I mean, especially when I was a kid, the information surrounding ADHD and neurodivergency, which is such a buzzword at the moment, but there was far less information than there is now. Definitely. So parents are kind of, I mean, my parents as well, obviously, but sitting there concerned that they're being told their child is not going to be able to function unless they take this chemical. And then that develops over time to, okay, cool. So now I won't be able to function if I don't take this chemical every day for the rest of my life. And, you know, certain pharmaceuticals like Ritalin, for example, which is a Schedule 6 medication, there's a potential of side effects, potential of addiction to stuff like that. With Ritalin, people are seeing, or with methylphenidates in general, people are seeing, you know, rise in symptoms of anxiety, of depression. And that is while you're taking the medication. You know, then if you decide you don't want to take the medication anymore, there's the potential dealing with the potential withdrawal of that, which, I mean, I've seen in my personal life, not me directly, but people around me who have started taking, I think the new one that's kind of going around popularity-wise is Vyvanse. So people taking Vyvanse and documenting their journey with that. And I mean, that's an incredibly expensive one. So, you know, some months they say they can't afford it and then they decide to skip it that month and then they literally feel like they're in withdrawal. They like have the shakes and anxiety is through the roof. So the other side of that is, you know, getting to age 19, the reason I decided to stop taking Ritalin is because I developed luckily a benign heart condition, but benign arrhythmia from taking the Ritalin and combining that with caffeine, which, I mean, obviously the doctor's not going to warn you about caffeine when you start taking it at 9, because no child is drinking coffee or Monster, or they shouldn't be.
At 9.
So it's funny how, you know, it needed to get to the point of developing a heart condition to decide that this is not something I wanted to take anymore. And then from there, there were quite a few years of not taking anything, because the process there, again, we were speaking about lifestyle. My decision was that I had to learn to work with myself and with the way that our brains work as through neurodivergency. And again, what's cool is coming to this sort of part of history is that the research around this has developed so much that if you want to make those kinds of changes, it's far easier to access that information and to see what kind of techniques you can apply to work in that way. Then I went into quite a stressful time mid-2022 in terms of trying to switch industries, look for different careers. And it's now been about 4 or 5 years since I was in, or maybe less, since I was in university. And, you know, once you are out of that academic space, you lose the ability to study with the same veracity that you did 100%. At the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I decided, well, maybe, you know, I've always had an interest in plants and plant medicine. It used to be primarily through cooking, whether that was, you know, making fresh chili oil to get the capsaicin out and using like coconut oil to do that as opposed to buying a chili oil. I thought, like, surely there's a way to do this naturally. I mean, the research is there. I just need to find a manufacturer.
Yeah.
So my background is in journalism, with specifically with some training in scientific journalism. So using that, I researched all the different products or ingredients, rather, consulted with several doctors in the development phase of this. And then we went into very small batch production, just 14 units, 14 bottles, 60 capsules each. So, I mean, I'm not going to try to do the maths on that one, but I took it myself. I test everything on myself as kind of like the first line, which is, I'm super grateful that we haven't started developments on any former feminine hormone supplements yet, because that would be a bit challenging.
Checking yourself.
Yeah.
But so...
You'd lose your mustache.
After about 3-4 days, it was incredibly noticeable. And, you know, coming from the journalism background, as I was saying, you are trained to be a skeptic. So I felt like I was feeling benefits on the first and second day, but I was going, is this placebo? Or do I just think I'm feeling these benefits?
100%.
Yeah. Getting a little bit further into that, then I decided to offer it to some friends of mine who I also know, you know, have taken Ritalin in the past or should be taking something like Ritalin. And the feedback I got from that was overwhelmingly positive. We then eventually, you know, after getting a bit generous, handing those out, we got to the end of the test batch. The manufacturer essentially said that they were unwilling to work with an individual in small batches. So the next order had to be 500 units or more.
Sure.
So a few friends even offered to, you know, help fund the business, which I turned down. But I said, like, you know, I've been looking for something to do. This is a vested interest of mine. And it's something which benefits me directly and benefits other people 100%. Like me. Yeah.
And I like that part where you can even see it in the medication and the formulation that you have. It was made for you first.
Yeah.
Then it benefited you, and then you gave it to other people. Because I noticed that in your medication for like Potentia, which is the medication for focus,
yes,
there's no caffeine in it.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that have focus, there's caffeine in them. And there's like L-theanine and other stuff. You can have that and coffee, and it's a potent combination.
Potent combination. Speaking of which, what are your thoughts on caffeine, specifically as a, I suppose, neurocognitive supplement? Just from my readings and something interesting that I learned was that a lot of historians actually find that the advent of a lot of inventions and us becoming more, driven and focused towards like goal-directed behavior was at the advent of the discovery of caffeine. The coffee bean, after eaten, I think it was South America, in South America, I believe, Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
People realized, I can get more work done now. I can do more. And then they started working harder and discovering things, and more inventions started. And that was literally at the advent of caffeine. So it is a drug, and we must see it as a drug, but a drug that can benefit us. And I think a lot of nutraceuticals come from like ancient traditional medicine, and they were used and discovered, and people just like you use them on themselves. Was like, oh, this thing really works, and now I want to use it. So what are your thoughts? Oh, by the way, my coffee's arrived. Can you pass me my coffee? tell us a bit more about your thoughts on caffeine specifically.
Yeah, so I mean, as you said, caffeine is a drug. I think that we have a skewed perception in society as to what is and what isn't a drug, simply based on availability, because sugar is also a drug, you know, but that's in everything. And I think that the word drug can sometimes either scare people away or, you know, interest people for whatever reason. But I think it's a potent neurostimulant because it targets one of the three main neurochemicals that are required for focus, which is adrenaline or epinephrine in the brain. That's norepinephrine. And to come back to what you were saying on that, Naseem, just to kind of blend the two, is that that is the reason we don't include it in the blend, because people are going to be having coffee throughout the day.
Yeah.
So why include caffeine, especially as the first thing you're having in the morning, when the recommended advice is that you should wait at least 30 minutes or more before you have your first coffee. Of the
day. And why is that, Michael?
I think it's, you know, it's to give your system time to adjust and wake up to being, you know, awake for the day. Mm. And the first thing you should be taking in is water, because that's going to flush your system and continue or finish the process that is cycling through your body that has been happening overnight. Mm.
So there's also a recommendation. I can't remember where I was reading or listening. Is when you wake up, like you said, you wait, first get in water and then sunlight. So apparently getting sunlight before you, like getting walking outside and letting the sun hit you, you know, lets your body dispose of all the melatonin that it built up over the nighttime, you know, sort of get you stimulated and then go and have your coffee. Not to have the coffee while all those nighttime, you know, cortisol, you know, is still on its rise slowly when you're waking up and the melatonin is still in your system and now you go and chug down coffee.
Yeah.
You know, so you should first let those things, you know, work themselves out. I wanted to come to this point about supplements in general. There's supplements everywhere you go. You can walk into Checkers and there's a whole lot of supplements, right? What I found is that there's so much of scams. I believe supplements in the shops that people buy are scams because they have such little... They have such a little
of
amount
the active
of the
ingredient
active ingredient
that you want. Yeah.
So exactly. I actually picked this up during the COVID period when everyone was saying you have zinc, vitamin D, and things like that.
Mm.
And the articles, the studies were recommending certain doses of vitamin D. But then people in the shops were putting supplements, COVID bombs and things. But it's such little vitamin C, vitamin D. It's like, this is going to do nothing.
Mm.
And I saw with... The most common one, everyone knows, slow mag. So we all know magnesium sulfate has great benefits like high blood pressure, peripheral vascular resistance, and so forth. But do you know that to have those effects on a level where they are clinically significant, you need to take like the 5 of those slow mag effervescent tablets every day?
Yes.
If you just put one in your glass, it's too much. You want a Koch drinking.
It feels like it's a lot.
You know? So I was like now taking 2 in the morning, 2 in the night, but like chugging that thing down is like, you need like a 700 ml water for 2 of those things, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, what is this, man? You're telling people to take slow mag, but you're making it like 150 milligrams of magnesium in this
thing. That's not nearly enough to give you the
clinical
effect.
But what I like of your supplement now, because you gave us samples at some point. Yeah. And I did use them. And I did get good effects. I've used Tongat Ali in the past, so I know the effects. But what I think makes you really legit is firstly that you've studied this and you've really put in the research. And you actually put in the
And I think independent research is also important because, you don't even come from a pharmacy background or like a homeopath background where you went and did formal training or formal education. And sometimes that can be a negative because it doesn't teach you necessarily to critically think.
Yes.
You went out there and you're like, this is something that interests me. Yeah. I'm going to study it myself. I'm going to collate all these studies and come up with a formulation that deals with specific problems, but in a natural way.
Yeah. And that's why we consulted with doctors in the development process, simply because I feel pretty confident in my own skills to be able to make something that I'm comfortable taking. But now if it's something I want to offer to a friend, this is before we started the business, of course, but if it's something I wanted to offer to a friend or family member, I'm okay if side effects happen to me. I'm not okay if it happens to someone else.
Of course. Yeah.
So we consulted with doctors. We also work with a really, really high quality third-party registered lab in Somerset West who handle all of our manufacturing, and that is run by an industrial engineer and a molecular biologist.
Wow.
Nice. So you're not being scammed, guys. Apex Alchemy.
Apex Alchemy,
That's the supplement to use.
And also, like in general, in supplementation, people will say like, oh, that herb doesn't work, right?
Mm.
But I mean, you have a background in like medical journalism, right? So a lot of the stuff, there are clinical trials that show that these things work in each of those medication.
Yeah.
I think that everyone can do their own research. These things are all publicly available online on a Google search, right? And also, you mentioned about side effects. So I had a common question that people ask, because we always talk about supplementation during consultations. And people will say, I read some studies that ashwagandha can cause liver toxicity. Have you seen any of these?
Yes, yeah. Okay. I think with any ingredient, I mean, even zinc, if you take over 8 milligrams or something, you're going to have some pretty nasty side effects. It's all about knowing the required dose, or, you know, having a trusted advisor, like a doctor, who can tell you what that correct dose is.
Yeah, I mean, my grandmother always used to say, everything is a drug. It just depends on the dose.
100%.
Everything.
Yeah.
You have too much food, that's a drug.
Yeah.
You have too much water.
There was a woman who died from drinking 20 liters of water.
Yeah, you can die from that. Yeah. Too much sex, I mean, we know the consequences of that. But I mean, literally everything in life is a drug. And so if you go into it with that mindset, then you understand that obviously at a certain level, and that threshold can be different for every human.
Yeah.
Based on the enzymes that exist naturally in their body, based on their genetics. And I think going through the processes that you've gone through, where not only were you like, well, if it's a... Because a layman generally would think like, oh, if it works for me, I'll tell everybody to use it, you know?
Yeah.
That's like anecdotal evidence. People generally, when they give advice, they're like, I don't need to read the studies. If it works for me... You know, like, especially in the older generation, you know what I mean? Like,
for sure, 100%.
They'd be like, no. If you drink 2 cups of tea with a stony, then you're going to get hard for the day. You know, like, because it works for them. Yeah,
that's like the exact scientific process my uncles follow.
Exactly, yeah. Right?
For me, you take that.
If it's right, if I did it and it works for me, I eat 10 apples a day, and that's what keeps me.
You know
me
what
lean.
That's like? It's on the same level of patients who you give them a certain medication, and then when they come the next time, you give them the same medication but a different box, and then they say, no, this box gives me a headache. I want the red box.
I want
box.
The one, the red
I don't
box.
Want the
and it could
box.
Be the exact same
it's
thing.
The exact same medication.
One could be a generic, and literally they'll say to you, no, doc, you know the
this
one with
box,
that, you know the one with the red box.
And I give them, I say, okay, sorry, I'll give you this one. And I'm like, okay, take the red box.
So, I mean, for the layman in the street, anecdotal evidence is number one, right? If my friend took it and it worked for him, and his friend took it and it worked for him, it's going to work for me. And I think something that we pride ourselves at the Gents Clinic is something similar to you. We make bespoke medication. We look at the needs of our patient profile and we go, we've seen this problem before.
Yeah.
We know at this dose, you're going to have problems here. Let's try you at this dose, and I guarantee you, you're going to see a positive effect. And then as time goes on, you kind of develop a sort of study group that you can extrapolate from, and you can adjust your doses and optimize the patients.
And even on that point also, like, you create a study group and you check and see, right?
Mm.
In those cases of people having liver toxicity with ashwagandha, there's only a few case studies. The case study is the lowest level of clinical of research, right? Mm. The case study is the same as anecdotal. One time I saw this patient who had ashwagandha and he got liver problems.
Yeah.
There could be so many other reasons.
There could be
why.
So many other. He could have been drinking a bottle of whiskey every single day
with the
ashwagandha. And then they attributed it to, he also had ashwagandha.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's an interesting point because this is a fairly new science in terms of like supplements being taken seriously as being able to be a first line, you know, health support system. There's a lot of horror and scare stories going around. I think it's true of the whole medical industry, you know, like my uncle took that and this happened. But it's again very anecdotal, and I think just to, you know, draw attention to something, there is a very useful website which just makes this information super easy to access. examine.com. Literally anything, anyone can access that, whatever you want to research, all the research is there.
That's a great website for supplements. You can type Tongat Ali and you get everything about it. Maybe we should get into that firstly by, you know, like each of the ingredients, but firstly maybe just for the audience to say, what exactly does your supplement aim to achieve in a man who's taking it? And can women take it as well?
The testosterone booster, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So although testosterone...
Sorry, Michael. Are there more supplements that you have?
Let's get into all the different...
No, so I've got two on the store at the moment. You know, the development cycle takes a little bit longer. We don't push out any product that's just a single ingredient supplement because personally I don't see the benefit in that. The entire point of what we're trying to do or what I'm trying to do, been writing too many customer emails, I keep saying we... But what I'm trying to do is show that the most beneficial way to approach this is, again, through a well-rounded approach, right? Yes. Like the first product that I launched was the Potentia, which is a focus and memory enhancer as well as stress and anxiety management supplement. And the reason, I mean, it's quite a mouthful to say, and there's 10 ingredients in there, but that's because the brain is an incredibly complex organ.
Mm.
And you can't just use, I mean, I see products on the shelves all the time which have a fancy label and just have like one ingredient that's like 100 milligrams when it should be 350 or something. And again, trying to come back to the initial point, trying to target things in a holistic and complex way. So speaking on 100%. That mental enhancement booster, that's 7 plant extracts and 3 amino acids. Things like L-theanine and oat straw extract, those are adaptogenic. And at the same time, things like L-theanine will boost your alpha brainwave activity. This is a state of mind that is most often found when people are like meditating or doing yoga. It's essentially like calm, focused flow.
Yeah.
It also helps offset the cortisol rise that comes from caffeine. So if you have 3 coffees, you're not going to be like sitting at your desk like that. Then we use bromelain, which is a digestive enzyme. And that's because, as far as my research goes, the brain-gut link has become fairly established as being being valid science.
Mm.
So the digestive enzyme helps your system process things properly and at a higher speed so that the neurochemicals that are actually also found present in the gut linking to the brain, everything just flows a bit more smoothly. Then multiple ingredients in there... I will list them in order in a second just to go through all of them. Mm-hmm. But multiple ingredients there target the 3 neurotransmitters that are required for focus, acetylcholine, dopamine, and norepinephrine. And I like to describe this as a spotlight, right? If the epinephrine is the energy source, the dopamine is a power cable, and the acetylcholine is the actual light itself, without either of those 3, you cannot turn on the light. In the same way, if you don't have any of those, if one of those 3 is not optimized, your ability to focus is not going to be as primed as it could
100%.
Be. 100%. Yeah. We also include phosphatidylserine. This is it promotes phospholipids in the brain, which is kind of like a fatty cell membrane. Improves the speed and transmission of information through neurons. And then...
It seems like you're hitting us at all angles, hitting the brain, the gut, hitting the hormones, which is good. Because you want to have everything in sync. Everything needs to be working together. And it seems like you target, that's your approach.
Exactly. And the final actions that are happening there are antioxidants, which is just, removes a bit of the stress of, daily life and the aging process.
Oxidative stress. Yeah.
Exactly. Anti-inflammatories for improved blood flow specifically.
What do you use for the
anti-inflammatories? Is oat straw extract. We also use cat's claw extract for that.
Bromelain also is anti-inflammatory.
Bromelain, as well. And then lastly, we use Huperzine A, which is extracted from tooth club moss. And this is essentially I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, an acetylcholinesterase inhibitor. Mm. So it prevents slows the breakdown of acetylcholine. So this is actually being researched. This specific compound is being researched for its benefits towards Alzheimer's treatment. As the predominant theory at the moment is that Alzheimer's is caused by depleting levels of acetylcholine.
My grandfather had Alzheimer's, and one of the drugs that we gave him, which was an experimental at the time but had shown promise, was rivastigmine, which is an acetylcholinesterase inhibitor.
Okay.
Very, very, very interesting.
The other one was L-tyrosine in that.
L-tyrosine, that's predominantly dopamine production.
So my question, and it's maybe a rhetorical question, something we can talk about, is... there is a lot of evidence around the supplements that you are describing, that you're explaining to us. We were just talking about vitamin B8. What's the name?
Inositol.
Inositol. We were talking about vitamin B8, which is called inositol. And so much good evidence in its prevention or, help in reducing insulin resistance. Mm. But why is it that us in the medical field, and not us personally, but you'll never find these things in a doctor's practice.
Yeah.
You'll never find these things being prescribed by a doctor, you know. Perhaps there are some doctors who are aware of it, you know, who will prescribe, but I think the majority, maybe 80% of medical practitioners either don't know, are not taught. So why is it that, I know there's a conspiracy that we are paid by Big Pharma to prescribe
stuff. Which is absolute nonsense. Maybe in America, they still have that culture, reps will come out and like give them gifts and things like that. But I promise in South Africa, no doctor is receiving a single cent from any of the medications they prescribe. Not a single cent goes to the doctor. You're paying the pharmaceutical company. They are giving you the drug. So if ever there was any doubt, I hope we've cleared that up right now. You can come check our bank balances. Nothing is coming from Adcock Ingram or any other drug company.
But I actually think the opposite, though.
Okay, right? Tell me why.
So, where do you follow your what you do? You get it from guidelines, right?
Yeah.
You just follow guidelines. Those guidelines are developed by some specific doctors, right? Who, for some associations, American Heart Association, for example, who they get paid by somebody else.
I see.
So you personally are not getting paid, but these higher organizations who create guidelines, right? If you look at inositol, you know how crazy, how insane it is to reduce the risk of getting like preeclampsia, or even magnesium supplementation, preeclampsia, all these other crazy things that happen in pregnancy, significantly reduces the risks, right? And there's all these crazy things that happen with PCOS. Why are we giving metformin?
PCOS, that's polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Why are we giving metformin, like other drug company things, where you can give berberine instead, which is a herbal.
Berberine is natural,
The natural herbal thing that's you can buy over the counter, right?
Instead of,
but then you give some other drug company who manufactures it, right?
And they come up with the guidelines. So I see where you...
But you know what they'll say?
But then it's not our fault. We're just following what we were taught. What do you want us to do?
If I can be a little bit controversial here, that this is kind of like a built-in flaw, right? Yeah. Or an engineered flaw, in that medicine as a practice, right, you need to be able to have evidence for the substance that you want to give, right? Yeah. The pharmaceuticals as a science is only about a century old. And that pharmaceutical space required a large amount of evidence in order to say, hey, this synthesized product I've made is safe, right? So then a large amount of funding goes into that product, which is a product that can be patented, right?
Of course.
Whereas natural ingredients cannot be patented. You can't patent magnesium. So the research and the study that is going into these, although it is growing, is still a lot smaller than the body of data available for pharmaceuticals. Then you have people in America like Dr. Jeff Chen, who's currently working on a system where you crowdsource your data. So people sign up, he'll send out magnesium or something to like 10,000, 100,000 people, and then get crowdsourced data back to try and make that the nutraceutical more reliable.
100%.
So it's just that we're too early.
I think so. It is a very, very new science. And once there is a more established body of evidence... because this is a wall I run up again quite a lot, is speaking to doctors and saying, hey, I would like to present this product to you as a potential option, especially because I think the most common customer query or email that I get is someone saying, hi, I'm a mom. Is this safe for my 11-year-old to take? Because I don't want to put them on something chemical. So I wanted to, you know, to approach doctors and say, I'd like to offer this as kind of a natural alternative. This is the research behind it. This is a sample for you to try. And the majority of the time, there have been a few exceptions, but the majority of the time people are just saying, there's not enough data. I'm
so
not interested.
I'll give you an example from my own experience. My professor, I work in emergency medicine. This guy is probably one of the most, I would say, accoladed gentleman I've come across in my life. I think he's got a diploma in almost every single field in medicine, from mental health to child health to he's a specialist in allergology. He's an intensive care specialist and emergency medicine specialist. But during COVID, when I first started working in the emergency department because there was a need, on our ward rounds, at the end of the ward rounds, he says, okay, so we've chatted about COVID. We've chatted about dexamethasone and using corticosteroids. But who here can tell me about the benefits of honey in treating upper respiratory tract infections? And then he'll pull out studies and be like, this is what I'm going to recommend to my patients. This is what is these natural things that have been around for thousands of years before this, which came about at a time in our life where there was no option of pharmaceuticals, and also everything else, our entire environment was not as toxic as it is to us today. Whether it be plastics, whether it be our food sources, the hormones they inject our meat with, all of that stuff. So I think there is a change in certain medical professionals, but the difficult thing for us is we were taught for so long that there is only one way.
Yeah.
And that way is these drugs, and these drugs have these specific, directed uses. But there was never, in our pharmacology lectures, there was never a tut where they'd say to us, hey, instead of metformin, try this this plant called berberine. And this is what berberine does at a cellular level. Never, not one. I can't tell you any natural supplement that you've mentioned that we actually learnt or studied in medical school.
Not
a single one. So I do think that there's some power that the drug companies have in dictating what we learn, what we study, and excluding that there's no other potential way. When we know for thousands of years, people have used these and successfully potentially treated a lot of the conditions. Now, that's not taking away from the fact that, we discovered penicillin and then a whole lot of things changed. We were able to treat massive, infections and things like that. But then we oversubscribe antibiotics, and now we've got a new problem of antimicrobial resistance. So now the bacteria are getting smart, and they're like, hey, we know how to dodge this. We know how to dodge the antibiotic. So, now that we've come to this stage, we've got to try and look for equal balance, I feel. We're not discrediting the fact that you need to use antibiotics, for example, and you need to use certain drugs or medication at specific points. But I think we need to start moving back to holistic medicine, homeopathy and natural supplementation to complement what we already know.
I think that's exactly it, right? Because the phrase around this is complementary medicine.
100%.
Treating supplementation or nutraceuticals as, or even diet and exercise as a first line of health support and longevity. And again, just to be clear, I'm in no way advocating for anyone to stop taking any life-saving pharmaceuticals. I'm not standing in the corner of a hospital room being like, try garlic powder, But if you can maintain a higher level of health than you would otherwise without supplementing, you ideally prevent the need to be in these more dire situations.
100%.
Hopefully.
100%. 100%.
I think, we discussed a lot about the side of the doctors and how we, follow guidelines. Actually, to that, I saw a documentary where a dietitian was querying why is it that processed meats like Viennas and sausages are on the American Heart Association website for diabetic diets. And then she found out that the American Heart Association is sponsored by farms, like beef farms.
Oh, my goodness.
So, it's that. But There's that side of it, but I think the world and people themselves really have their backs up against the wall with the way fast foods are so prevalent and advertised and how busy our lives are. Because if you're going to be giving someone these supplements, really good, they're going to help. But like you said, if you don't put in the lifestyle aspect with it, you won't get the full benefits. But now, the world is so fast-paced and stressful. And if you go right past the McDonald's at like 6 p.m., it's packed, the drive-thru. People are not cooking. Everyone's eating takeout. So especially in the cities. So, you're fighting that battle as well, where people, aside from that, don't take charge of their health. People don't worry about their health. They just live, I'm going to die anyway. The stomach is a sign of healthiness and
do think that's changing a little bit, or rather maybe there's two divergent paths.
I think if you look at the generation above us and you look at our generation, we're far more clued up or far more interested in health.
Going
to the gym. Like my father cannot understand why would you want to go to the gym and like lift weights. He comes from a generation where he was told either run, get on a bicycle, or swim, do something active. But why lift weights and do this and that? because they were never like taught, conscientized towards that. So I think we are moving towards that generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And we are moving towards a more holistic health, you know. But in closing, any last like questions, thoughts that you guys have for Michael?
Anything else? For me, it was the fact that as the Gents Clinic, we want to work to see, you know, getting your supplement onto one of our services and, you know, have Apex Alchemy on there as a supplement that we, you know, agree with as the doctors, you know. So I'm looking forward to, you know, to working towards that and having another option for people. Like I said, lifestyle, like, and you said, lifestyle is the first step, and not everyone can go on to medications for whatever reason or don't want to. So if we have a supplement that we can, you know, put forward and say, look, this is one that you trust, here's the evidence behind it, I think that's going to be excellent. But yeah, I mean, you're doing a good job. And I hope that your company grows big. And
thank you, man.
Yeah.
Careful of success.
If I can bring it back just briefly to what you were saying about people having their backs up against the wall.
Mm.
Regardless of where you get your supplements, I think there is an overlap. If you don't have the time or the energy to put into devoting to your lifestyle, you know, maybe you work very long hours and you're also a busy parent. There are very small changes you can make in order to improve your lived experience in certain ways. Like something as simple as cinnamon extract, you know, can lower your insulin levels and improve your blood sugar.
100%. Nassim, anything?
I think the thing we're talking about is basically medicine 3.0. Have you heard about that idea? So Brandon, I think, I can't remember 1.0 and 2.0. I think one, have you heard about it, Bree?
Okay.
So medicine 1.0 is like, I think it was identifying that the problem, I think. And then 2.0 is treating it.
Well, the medication.
And then medication. And then 3.0 is prevention.
Mm.
So now we're entering medicine 3.0, which is preventing disease. So I think this is a big part of what we're doing.
Yeah. And these type of platforms, are, I mean, when I type berberine on YouTube and I see millions of views, I get happy, you know. People are actually aware, becoming aware of things. And
I think for us as medical professionals, we need to be a bit more open-minded in looking towards complementary medicine. And it's in the name. It's there to complement us. It's not there to remove medicine. We're not saying... don't take antibiotics if you need antibiotics. Yeah. We're just saying there are certain alternatives if you do have issues. And thankfully now we have Michael from Apex Alchemy, who's you know, hopefully going to be joining us, partnering with us to provide good evidence-based supplementation so that our patients who are considering TRT but aren't at the level that they want to be at yet and want to try something natural first can go on that. For holistic health, I mean, patients with vascular issues and multiple other comorbidities, which may lead to erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, and a whole host of other problems that we treat, I think now we can give them alternatives that aren't necessarily medication and see if there's a massive benefit in taking it before they go down the route of pharmaceuticals. And obviously, we could make a whole lot of money just selling you pharmaceuticals, selling all of our patients pharmaceuticals. And I always tell them that, look, I could make money off of you. We have a subscription service. It'll take money off your credit card and medication gets delivered to your doorstep. But now I have other options. Now that you're here, Michael, I think now we have other options that we can offer patients and say, hey, before you go down that road, let's try this first.
Yeah.
Let's see the benefits here. And I think the one difficulty we have is a lot of our patients also are still a bit like, yeah, but give me the real thing. I want the quick fix.
Yeah,
I want the thing that's just going to do the job like right now.
Yeah.
Whereas give me 2 months on this supplement and you'll see. And I've seen it with certain complementary medications that I've taken. Long-term benefits, lion's mane mushroom, for example. My cognitive function is unmatched from what it was before. After 2 months, I could like visibly feel it and like experience that change. Ashwagandha, Tongkat Ali, I take on a daily basis. Zinc, magnesium, all of these supplements, I've seen a massive change in my mood, in my, you know, stress,
sleep,
all of that. Absolutely. And so no matter how much life throws at me, I feel like there's complementary medicines out there that can help alleviate some of the pressure that I'm under. So thank you, Michael. Thank you. Really, we really appreciate it. Michael's all the way from Cape Town. He's come here just to join us for this podcast. So thank you so much, and we really appreciate your time.
And thank you so much, Chance. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So that's been another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. Tune in next week for another great episode. My name is Dr. Soil Essa, signing off.
Dr. Brendan Matthews.
Dr. Naseem Sharif.
And Michael Davidson of Apex Alchemy.
100%. We'll catch you guys next week. Enjoy.